This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Chad Daybell is on trial. He is facing the death penalty, something that Lori Vallow did not face. Makes the stakes a little bit higher in this one. Joining me to discuss the beginning of this case, now that we've had opening statements, we're starting to get testimony, retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. I'm just going to open up the floor to you on this one. What's been your reactions now that we're a handful of days into the trial?
You know, this is one of these cases that it almost makes you just say, why are we even going through the motions?
Yeah.
I know that's terrible to say that, but the evidence is overwhelming. There's no excuse. The religious thing is going nowhere. I don't believe his blaming, you know, being controlled by Lori Vallow, that's not going to go anywhere. Blaming the you know, his brother-in-law, that's not going to go anywhere. One of the things, though, I do want to touch on just one moment
that
really I found interesting. I found it so interesting when he turned his way or turned his head away from the autopsy photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think why that bothered me so much, Tony, was here these people commit, he's innocent until proven guilty, but by all the evidence that we've seen in Lori Vallow's trial and that we're seeing, you know, starting to surface now and that we've known about, it's very interesting to me when somebody is capable of doing this and then they don't even want to face what they've done.
Sure.
They sort of just turn their back on it like a child, like a coward. And it just bothered me, Tony.
Well, it makes you wonder a lot about, you know, just his mental capability and where he is at. I mean, I do wonder if he is more like a child than an adult. Like, if we were to do a study on him, where would he be at? I mean, look at some of his behaviors. Look at what he writes about. Look what he believes. That seems more like something that a child would be capable of doing and truly believing versus a healthy adult male like he is. So it does kind of make me wonder if, you know, his mindset, his IQ is very much that of a teenager or a young child.
Yeah, he's quite an interesting character, and I think he's going to be convicted. If he gets the death penalty, I'm very concerned, because if he is convicted and sentenced to death, I don't believe the attorney, from my understanding, death penalty. He's allowed to litigate such, but he had no real backup. I don't think he's ever had a death penalty case. I just think that that sentence, if it happens, I know we're getting a little ways down the road.
Yeah.
I think it'll be overturned. And remember, we're on the heels of him really wanting off the case, saying
yes,
all the money was gone. He's working for free. To me, this whole case is set up. I guess my second, other than him being so guilty, why are we here? My second is what is going to happen, Tony, if he is convicted? Because I just don't know about grounds with the attorney.
I think we'll see another Chad Daybell case is what we're going to see. A rerun is what we will end up seeing, because he went to the judge and publicly said, I want off. I'm not qualified for a death penalty case. Even though he should have known that. He did sign up to be his attorney, agreed to be his attorney. So, you know, this is a death penalty case. Why 2 or 3 months before the trial are you going to the judge going, I'm not qualified for this? Well, you dug your hole. You're going to be staying in it. But that doesn't necessarily mean the same for Chad. I mean, they could easily look at that and go, yeah, you had ineffective counsel. That could be a very, very real possibility for him. What do you think about the arguments that they haven't really made this in trial yet, but it was made in a motion a while back. The judge did deny it. It basically is to the effect of, well, Lori didn't get the death penalty, so why should he? Why should that be a factor for him? If she is the ringleader to all this, which the state very much sold their case on that and won, to now go back and say that Chad is more of a ringleader as well, I don't know. I mean, can you really have it both ways? And we also have to look at how Lori's death penalty was taken off the table. It had nothing to do with the merits of the case. It had something to do with her counsel, like it was a late filing or something of that nature, where they said, okay, we're taking this off now. But again, not the merits of the case.
Right, exactly. So there's two reasons that she's not facing the death penalty. In Idaho, she wasn't facing it, as you said, because they were sanctioned because of discovery issues. Discovery. So that's a paperwork situation. They were sanctioned. So that's why it's off the table there. And then here, she isn't charged with a death penalty statute. She's charged with conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So that can't be death penalty. So again, she kind of got loopholed twice out of facing the death penalty. But to your point is, well, wait a minute, no matter the reason, whether it's because of late discovery or whether it's because of the charge that they felt they could prove, she's still not facing it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to matter because they chose not to charge her with the same charges that they did Daybell. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that particular point is going to have merit.
Are you surprised at all by the angle that John Pryor is going with on this of, you know, Alex Cox was the one who did it. Chad's just kind of this doofus over here who was just seduced by this woman and just couldn't see anything but rose colored glasses. And he had no idea these things were going on. It seems like a ridiculous defense. But, you know, it's just dealing with the cards he was dealt as well.
Well, I think this is all that they could possibly try to come up with. Yeah. I think it's a ridiculous defense, but especially because, you know, they're from the LDS community, which is very strongly driven and controlled by males. I mean, that's part of the whole philosophy. And then certainly he was a strong prophet-like person or put himself out in this way, the leader of this, you know, little mini cult, if you will. And so it doesn't, it's incongruent that he's getting led with a, you know, a hog ring around his nose to do all these vicious deeds and had no idea. But, oh, by the way, I'm the leader.
Yeah.
So it's incongruent.
I think that that phone call that was made between Lori and Chad is going to be probably one of the damningest things that we're going to see in this trial, where he's sitting there going, they're going in the backyard. Why are you concerned that they're going in your backyard? It should just be pets back there, shouldn't it, Chad? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, and I think that's where you have the knowledge and exactly what he was doing. All his actions, when they string these along, these chains of event and this timeline, is that is going to be what does Chad in. Yeah. There's no, and I mean, in his backyard. By the way.
Yes. Yes.
So it's I think it's going to be a short deliberation once they get there. And I do understand we've got a long way to go. But in my opinion, this is really all about the appeal, because there's going to be an appeal and this is all going to play out again.
I think you're exactly right, unfortunately. And the families are going to have to go through it all over again. But I did see a statement that was made by JJ's grandfather and Tylee's grandfather, stating, this one's all business. We actually loved Lori. Chad, not so much. This is all business to us, and we just want to get this taken care of. But for the sake of them, you know, just being done and trying to have some peace, one would hope we could just wrap this up this round and be done, but we will see.
Yeah, I've listened to his interview as well, and he definitely acted all business. I mean, the emotion that he had different times that he spoke in regard to Lori's trial and adjudication, this was different. Yeah. This was, you know, it seems like he's able, at least at this point, to check the emotion for a short while. And it's excruciating. He talked about those autopsy photos and how it's so difficult. And I my heart goes out to them. I communicate with them. And they're just amazing people.
Yeah. Larry and Kay Woodcock, we just want peace for them. And they've been amazingly strong through all of this. And I certainly give them that. Very, very strong people. And hopefully justice is served here.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.